When the four-hour film Gettysburg came out in 1993, it was praised for recreating the Civil War's climactic battle clearly and with historical accuracy. Now the film's production team has reunited for a Civil War prequel called Gods and Generals. Bob Mondello has a review.
Gods and Generals takes you back not so much to the Civil War, but to a time in Hollywood when men were men, battles were bloodless, and dialogue was, well, listen.
How is it you can keep so serene and stay so utterly insensible with a storm of shells and bullets raining about your head?
Captain Smith, my religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself with that.
That's General Stonewall Jackson, played by Stephen Lang as if he were Charlton Heston on the mount with tablets. If you've seen Gettysburg, his casting may leave you slightly perplexed. He played General Pickett in that movie, but evidently got promoted for this one. He's not alone in leaping around. General Robert E. Lee now looks and sounds like Robert Duvall, not Martin Sheen, and a number of their subordinates have done some shape-shifting, too. There is one character who's back intact, Jeff Daniels as Lieutenant Colonel Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. But he's only around to give the Union some FaceTime in what amounts to a 3.5-hour biopic on Stonewall Jackson.
Look! There is Jackson standing like a stone wall! Let us determine to die here today, and we will conquer!
In between battles, we see Jackson praying, Jackson waxing carefully benign on race relations, Jackson inspiring his men and his wife, and for a maudlin half hour or so, being inspired himself by a 5-year-old girl.
Mother says that star will show Daddy how to find his way back home.
Well, your mother's very wise. Very good person. Your daddy will come home. All the daddies will come home.
Jackson, let's note, is more renowned as a military strategist than as a babysitter, and the attack on Union forces at Chancellorsville, at which he was fatally wounded, was among his finest hours. That attack is depicted in Gods and Generals, but director Ron Maxwell is so busy humanizing Jackson that he gives his military skills short shrift. On screen, at least, his much-respected strategy is pretty much, hey, let's sneak up on him. All of which, for all I know, is entirely accurate. What it isn't, though, is cinematic. There's no forward momentum to Gods and Generals, nothing compelling about the characters, except their rather alarming facial hair, not even much excitement to the meticulously recreated battle sequences. The film seems designed, really, to be of interest principally to the Civil War buffs who dress up on weekends to reenact battles, some 10,000 of whom were recruited by the filmmakers and can be seen on camera doing just that. Now, in a film about the Civil War, it's interesting that absolutely no one, North or South, seems to favor slavery. This may explain why the film's only two African-American characters are not just loyal to, but actively fighting for, the Confederacy. Both do manage to suggest that freedom might not be entirely unwelcome, but far more screen time is devoted by the filmmakers to evangelizing for states' rights. In fairness, there's another film still to come in what's going to end up a Civil War trilogy of miniseries and maxi-movies. Here's hoping that when it gets made, the characters won't mouth quite so many of their lines twice for emphasis, as in, war is hard. It's hard. The effect is emphatic, but it also makes the 3.5 hours of Gods and Generals feel long. Really long. I'm Bob Mondello.
Rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer for the bonny blue flag.